Welcome to another episode of Pat the Fat Man, where we like to talk about sports, movies, and whatever else we feel like. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
And if you know what that noise is, it means you know what we're talking about. A sports ball.
Sports ball. And you're probably as old, if not older, than us.
Yes. You know, it's funny enough, I don't actually watch SportsCenter.
No, can't anymore.
No?
Because it's like Fox Sports Center now.
Oh, is it?
I mean, like when you got a guy like Stephen A. Smith out there.
Oh, well, yeah. Is he on SportsCenter?
Not on SportsCenter, the show, but I mean, he's like on most of the shows now, especially Get Up in the Morning and pretty much everything else.
The SportsCenter itself is on ESPN still, and you can watch it in the evenings. I just don't. Because they do, they kind of run through all of the sports. It's like the sports show that they made a comedy TV show out of, Sports Night, where they kind of cover everything. However, again, the only sports show I do watch is SEC Final, and only during the regular season. I stopped watching once we got to the postseason.
Right.
Because I just don't care as much anymore.
At that point, you're focused on one team.
Yeah. And I watch pretty much all the games. You know, because the playoffs are only 8, 9, 10, 11 games. Mm-hmm. So I watch most of the games anyway. So the primary reason I watch SEC Final is so that I understand every joke in SEC shorts, you know, on Monday.
Right.
I'm not going to watch every SEC game that happens every weekend. That's just not going to happen. At best, I'll catch 3.
Be 10 TVs all running at the same time.
Yeah. And don't get me wrong. I would do it. If I had that kind of money, but I don't.
Well, money and just, you know, brain power. I mean, you know, after a while, you just start bleeding from your nose.
You know, I've done the multiple sports games at once kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. If you don't actually care about any of the games more than any of the other games, it's not bad.
Right. I don't know. It comes down to how I view sports betting is that I'd be a great sports bettor if I didn't care about certain teams.
Right. I would never bet against my teams, and right, that would be the wrong thing.
And actually, speaking of, it was funny because I watched the Blue Jackets in the NHL, and they had this tendency, like at least 17 games, almost 20 at this point, where they have lost the game in the third period. They would lead going into the third period, and they would just blow the lead. And someone commented on Facebook, they waited until the third period, and then they placed $10 bet on Columbus Blue Jackets to lose. And like the last game, they were up 4-1. He put a $10 bet down on them to lose, and he won $85. I'm like, I'm more mad that I didn't think of that myself.
Yeah, I know, right? I should be betting on my team to lose more often. Wait, that doesn't feel right to say that.
It doesn't, but I'd be richer.
No joke about that, folks.
The old adage in sports, winning cures all.
Winning's not the most important thing. It's the only thing.
Where did that come from?
God, I can't remember. There's a coach, Don Shula, maybe. I don't know. It's not Don
Shula. Sounds like Don Shula.
He coached the Miami Dolphins, not in the Dan Marino era. I don't think it may be. Either way.
Or Ditka. Shula and Ditka probably couldn't tell them apart, really.
That's true. The Bears. The Pope. Yeah, it's Tom Grassi. That's the YouTube guy who does all the NFL player, fan reactions. The Bears fan is wearing a Pope hat now. Which is funny because the Bears haven't been good for decades and they're in the playoffs now. Wouldn't surprise me if the Cubs go to the World Series next year.
So then at the next game, there should be one of the Blues Brothers right next to that guy with a sign that says it's a sign from God or the mission from God.
It's a mission from God. Yep. I'm sorry. The Pope's not a Cubs fan. He's a White Sox fan. Either way, I just can't see the White Sox going making the postseason.
But they have in the last 20 years.
Yeah.
Hell, they won a World Series in our lifetime.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, make me want to vomit now. Congratulations, folks. You're going to hear the Fat Man vomit because of what Pat said.
It's not my fault.
It is your fault.
It's not my fault.
It's your fault.
It's not. In no way is it my fault.
I have to blame somebody. You're it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to blame you for blaming me. Yeah, that math checks out.
being the engineer and all.
Yeah, I am an engineer.
Oh, God.
Bow down before me. Oh, God.
Just pray for there not to be apocalypse, people.
I mean, you can pray.
Pat will start his own religion.
Wasn't even trying. It just happened.
I just made a light bulb turn on.
People started worshiping me, and you know, really, who was I to judge?
So many answers to that, but here we are.
Here we are. All right, so we said we're going to talk about sports ball. I guess we should do that. Well, we have been kind of tangentially talking about sports ball.
What the hell is tangentially?
Speaking of...
Is that an outlet mall somewhere?
Yeah. Sure. Is it Tanger Outlet Mall? Tangier Outlet Malls?
And we found the rabbit hole, folks.
The Zimbabwe Outlet Malls? I don't even know where that word came from. Is it a French root word or a Spanish root, Germanic? Lord only knows. Probably some other people too. Either way, sports ball. So where do we want to start?
So they're both sad, but one's less expectedly sad. So let's start with the NFL.
NFL, the National Football League.
Honestly, Browns finished 5-12, which really isn't that surprising. I want to say most of those wins came from Shedeur Sanders. I think he got 3 out of those 2.
Would have had 4 if they hadn't gone for 2 twice in a row.
You mean 6. And they got 5 wins, but...
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah.
In that game that you're talking about with the 2-point conversions, one of those, they didn't even have their starting QB out there for that 2-point conversion. They had, like, I think it was like one of the wide receivers or somebody out there.
Yeah,
it wasn't even a quarterback out there.
Like, we're gonna do a trick play. I'm like, no, don't. Did not work out for you, sir.
Well, we don't have to worry about that anymore because we fired that coach, which honestly wasn't very surprising. 8 wins across 2 seasons, the last 2 seasons. Honestly, I think that Stefanski, I think he was one of those guys that thought he was so smart that he wasn't going to fight anybody from doing what he wanted. Like, you know, he would talk to the general manager and the owner and be like, I want this. And they'd be like, no, we're going to do this. He'd be like, okay, whatever. I'm too smart. I'm going to keep doing my thing. So when it doesn't work out, I'm not going to take the blame. I'm not going to feel any of the guilt. He wasn't actually going to do the job of coaching.
Yeah, he wasn't actually going to coach.
He wasn't going to try to work with people. He was just wanting to do what he wanted to do. And when he wasn't given the tools, he was like, okay, well, I'm the coach. You're going to do what I say, even though I know you can't possibly do this and that, you know, we're not going to work together. So he got let go. No surprise there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll be a great coach somewhere because it always happens like that. But really, the upside for the Browns this year was Myles Garrett got the single season sack record, 23.5 sacks. The final one coming on the final game where he sacked, air quotes, Joe Burrow. Not the most memorable sack in all of it, but...
Yeah, kind of a weak-looking sack,
yeah. But,
you know, it counts.
It counts. And you know, his sacks for a single season would be like, you know, 50, 55, 60 if he wasn't double and triple teamed every snap of every game that he's out there on the field.
Right, yeah.
He has the record now. The previous record was held for 25 years, so let's see how long this one lasts for, because everyone says that he's a beast, he's a monster, he's going to be first ballot Hall of Famer, and there's nobody like him in the game. So,
yeah.
Browns fans, if you at least watch for him, you know, you can at least take the gun out of your mouth.
That went dark. Yeesh.
So the search now is for the next head coach. A lot of names out there, a lot of funny names out there. Deion Sanders. Come on.
Not going to happen.
Don't get me wrong. I could see the Browns doing it because they make a lot of Hollywood decisions and not a lot of football decisions.
Yeah, they sure do.
Another name is John Harbaugh, who just got fired as of this recording today, January 6th.
Fired from the
Ravens,
the Baltimore Ravens, who went from like a 90% chance to get into the postseason
to losing on the last game of the season against Mike Tomlin, who I swear that man is some sort of gangster who's got his hand somewhere. You know, I swear when you know, the book is written on him. We're going to find he's like broken so many kneecaps and buried so many bodies across the NFL.
Yeah, maybe. So he's never made it past the first round. They always go to the postseason and then they lose in the first round. Right.
But I mean, when you look at the rest of the AFC North, he's still more successful than anybody else. And it's just enough to keep his job going.
I mean, let's be fully realistic here. Dak Prescott has won more postseason games than the head coach for the Steelers.
Yeah.
Even though he gets the Steelers to the playoffs every year and they lose in the first round every year. He's not going to make it this year. If they lose the first round, he's getting fired.
I'd be surprised.
They were talking about it last year. I wouldn't.
And if that's the case, then I'd be picking him up too, because I mean, hopefully that freaking NFL mobster thing's going to work for us. I mean, if it doesn't, then you absolutely know there's a conspiracy against Cleveland.
Well, I think the conspiracy is the owners. Unfortunately, you guys can't fire the owners. Didn't you guys fire your general manager too?
No, that's the surprising part. The owners came out and said that the general manager, who's been really a big part of all these decisions the last 6 years with Stefanski, is going to help hire the next coach.
That guy.
So that's Andrew Berry. And yes, and everybody else is like, and I don't know if that's the greatest idea. I mean, we get firing the coach. I mean, don't get me wrong. He probably is a good coach, but just clearly not working here. Like, he clearly does not understand how to run this system, because he just wants things a certain way. And it's just not going to happen with the kind of team this is. But then you're going to keep the guy that's definitely been a part of a lot of the bad decisions you've been making here.
Not a lot. Most of them, I would argue. So the Falcons fired head coach Raheem Morris and their general manager, Terry Fontenot. Hmm. If I remember correctly, after they won their game against the Panthers, hilariously.
Oh, the freaking Panthers and the Bucks. I mean,
which, if I remember right, because the Panthers lost, the Bucks don't go to the playoffs. Somebody else goes. It gets weird in play in the run up to playoffs, because you end up depending on other teams winning or losing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the Ravens went from like a 90 something percent chance to get into the playoffs 8 games before the end to a 6% chance 2 games before the end to a no percent chance until somebody else lost. and then if they beat the Steelers, they could get into the playoffs. And they couldn't. And in fact, the Steelers got in. So, yeah, everybody hates the Steelers. We're all aware.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's the Steelers.
It's the Steelers. My Cowboys did not fare that well this year. We won 7 games, tied 1, lost the rest 9. I don't know. Whatever. We lost to the Giants at home for the last game, playing mostly our second string throughout at least the second half. Actually, I think after the first series, our second string came out. We had a good year on offense and a terrible year on defense, and you can't make the playoffs with that kind of a team. You need at least good on both sides of the ball, or you need fantastic on one and mediocre on the other. And we had a good and a bad. If you're going to play with a bad defense, you need an offense that scores every drive, period, because that's the only way you'll win the game. You'll either win because you're the last team to score, or you'll win because on the, you know, the off chance that your defense puts up, you know, the one stop a game that you can outscore your opponent. Whereas our offense scores about half of their drives, which is good.
Yeah.
It's not great. It's not fantastic, but it's good. But you can only win if your defense stops at least half of the drives. Mm-hmm. And they didn't. They did not stop pretty much any drive. So that led to the firing of our defensive coordinator, Mr. Matt Eberflus. He came on, brought on by our head coach, Brian Schottenheimer. So this is Brian Schottenheimer's first year as the head coach of Dallas Cowboys. He was the offensive coordinator underneath our previous head coach, McCarthy. So after McCarthy's very terrible season year prior, Schottenheimer came on. We were all kind of question marks. You know, he's an offensive guy, and our offense played okay, or played good. We just didn't play very well on defense. We lost Micah Parsons. You know, he went to the Packers and then unfortunately got injured. I think he was in the running to try and challenge Garrett. That won't happen now just because he's injured. Watts from the Steelers is kind of too old at this point. You know, I think he came into the league maybe the year prior or 2 years prior to Garrett. He's probably peaked.
Yeah.
So out of the three of those, you know, I don't think we'll see another challenger for Garrett. Now we've got a couple guys in college coming out that may be pretty fantastic. We'll see. The two corners from Miami.
I don't know if anybody's built like Garrett. That's the thing.
Maybe. We'll see. I think A&M's current sack leader may be a very similar mold.
I mean, because that's probably been the thing that people notice about Garrett is like, he is just as lean, as big as you can be for somebody like in his position. And he's just so quick.
Yeah. It's a speed.
Oh, yeah.
That was it. So we're all done. We're out of the postseason. I'll probably watch the Super Bowl, but besides that, I don't care.
Yeah.
None of the teams I occasionally root for made it, and that would be Cowboys or my team. I root for the Browns. I root for the Bengals. I root for the Dolphins. Of those four teams, none of them made the postseason. So
since you brought up the word the Bengals, I do have a little gripe to pick with the Bengals real quick, and that's because in the post game of the last game, the Bengals head coach was complaining about the fact that they stopped the game to celebrate Myles Garrett getting his you know, sack record. He's like, oh, we're still playing for our lives here. I'm like, you're two teams that were eliminated weeks ago from the playoffs. You're playing for nothing. Okay, you were really playing for nothing. And so, yes, the one thing that everybody in that stadium could be happy about was to watch Myles Garrett get that record, and he did it without hurting your quarterback. So, you know,
yeah, just take the win. Right. The only reason anybody was watching that game at all, because it did not matter.
Right. So let's not be petty here. Okay. Over the last game that didn't matter.
The fact that you guys were playing Burrow at all was stupid. Let's be fair. Let's be 100% fair. Given his injuries.
Well, to be fair, they were probably looking for a reason to not bring him back next year, but
true enough, get him injured out. So other firings around the NFL football world, because we just coming off what's commonly referred to as Black Monday in the football world, which is the Monday after the end of the regular season. There is no Monday night football at the end of the regular season, so the last game is Sunday night football. So Brian Callahan from the Tennessee Titans finally got fired. I say finally because it was a long time coming. The Tennessee Titans have been not great. And I want to say that as nice as I can. Not great. No, they haven't even been good. They've been bad. Brian Daboll from the New York Giants, shocking nobody, because the Giants have been terrible, even with Scadaboo. Raheem Morris from the Atlanta Falcons, like I said, the Falcons also fired their GM. I think they were the only group to fire their GM this year. Kevin Stefanski, like we said, from the Cleveland Browns, well-deserved. Pete Carroll, a.k.a. Old Man Winter, got fired from the Las Vegas Raiders. Still unclear why the Raiders picked him up in the first place.
Is it strange to think that I think the Browns might do well with Pete Carroll?
Yes.
I don't know, man. I mean,
he's so old, Bruce.
Oh, come on. Like, there haven't been.
He's like 94.
Yeah, Jim Leland was like 90-something when he won a World Series, all right?
Baseball is not football. You've got to be able to stand on the sidelines.
That's not true. They choose to stand on the sidelines, okay? The way the NFL has so much money, you know they could come up with hover chairs for these coaches.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Baron Harkonnen coaching football team.
I guarantee you, every single one of those NFL team owners has got like those science fiction medical pods somewhere in their homes.
Well, I mean, that's true. I mean, it's just you're just talking rich people now.
That, like, along with a satanic room, you know, so that way they can, you know, be forever young with the blood of young children.
Yeah, because somehow, you know, Jerry Jones hasn't,
still alive.
hasn't been claimed by God yet. None of us know how or why.
What was he called? The Baron in the What We Do in the Shadows?
Oh, yeah. He's the Baron.
That's why there's a dome in AT&T Stadium.
To keep the sun out. It doesn't immediately burst into flames.
UV tinting.
That's right. It's not because he's a vampire. It's just because he's so old. His skin is so thin that the UV would go directly to his organs. But yeah, Pete Carroll, you know, previous to the Seahawks, who got quote unquote moved into an advisory role last year after the end of last season. And then once the Raiders got settled, jumped ship to the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders were terrible this year. Like, I think they won two games, maybe one.
I don't know which is a more appealing or less appealing job between Las Vegas and Cleveland.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I know from a living perspective, I'd rather live in Vegas.
Sure. I got to think it's like a history and a fan base. Cleveland's got to be better.
Oh, yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. The Raiders fans are insane and have always been so. You know, we talk about Steelers fans and New York, you know, Steelers fans being obnoxious and New York fans being who they are and Cowboys fans being America's team, right? And everything. But Raiders fans are nuts. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just flat out nuts.
Whereas, like, Cleveland fans, they're literally the guys that you could think of as, like, they go from the steel factory down to Brown Stadium every Sunday.
Yeah. We'll get drunk and watch our team lose? Yeah!
Why? Because we have hope. We always have hope, no matter what.
Yep.
And it's that good old American kind of hope, you know, not the please, dear God, I need this so I don't kill myself. No, it's just that good old American hope that things will get better someday.
Yeah. Speaking of which, A&M did actually pretty well this season.
They did.
Switching to college football on that note, it's a good old American hope story.
That gets uncomfortable when I talk about the realities of being Cleveland people.
I mean, it's rough. You ever been to Cleveland?
Yes, many times.
Just go in the winter.
It's true. Winter time is probably the time. I have yet to go to Cleveland in the winter.
I've been there in the winter. It was fun, but we were only there for 2 weeks. Snow is still fun after 2 weeks, especially when you're younger. Yeah, as it turned the somewhere between brown and gray black. What turns it black? Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
Nobody knows.
We don't ask those questions.
Yeah. The roads aren't asphalt up there because that stuff would just crumble.
That's how you get the EPA involved, and we're not narcs.
So yeah, A&M went 11-2 this season. 11-2. So you know, that's probably been our best season. It's been our best season in a long time. It's like 94.
Yeah. And I think if you're an A&M fan, the part that gets you, I suppose, like in a sort of way of angry is that you're not sure you could do it again.
Right. Two things on that, because we had an easy SEC season. Mm-hmm. We didn't have perhaps the easiest SEC season. I still think Texas did. They just happened to lose to Florida and then have to take both Tennessee and Kentucky to overtime to beat them.
Didn't they also lose to Ohio State?
Well, yeah, it turns out now Ohio State actually kind of sucks. So it turns out, folks, Ohio State, not that good, but we'll get into that. We had a fairly easy season. We played, I want to say, four ranked teams, maybe. We played Notre Dame as our first, as our opener. And that was big. Because we went to Notre Dame, we beat them at home 42-41. Notre Dame claims they're good. Obviously, the college football playoff committee thought they were good enough to rank them one out from getting into the playoffs. So they thought they were good. I think they're decent, right? Especially given their running back, Love, was kind of probably the best running back in football in college ball this last year. We went on to beat a lot of other people who were not very good. We beat Auburn at home. It was a revenge game, right? Because we lost to them in the fourth overtime last year. And that was our skid to downfall last year.
We got a coach fired this year.
Well, and we didn't even get to that one because Freeze didn't get fired till after.
Oh, I was talking about Kiffin.
No, we didn't get Kiffin fired.
At LSU?
You're talking about Brian Kelly.
That's it.
Yeah, we didn't get there yet.
Okay. I'm sorry. Jump ahead.
Remember last year, you know, we lost to South Carolina out South Carolina. We weren't supposed to lose that game.
Yep.
Turned out South Carolina was actually pretty good in the second half of their season. We then went on to lose to Auburn and then lose to Texas at home. And all that, we just had to win one of those games pretty much. And we would have gone to the SEC championship.
Yes.
And we couldn't. Right. So that hurt. And then we went in our second string, lost to USC in Vegas, which is effectively a home game for USC because it's only 2 hours from LA. So, in fact, my cousin who went to USC went to that game because she lives in LA still. And it was basically our second string defense, and because our first string had all gone off to the NFL or had opted not to play. A lot of question marks coming into the season. Mike Elko's second season. And we came out pretty strong, right? We beat Notre Dame. Then we went on to win. We just kept winning.
Yes.
We were very much a second half team. We would often be down in the first half or very close. I think the Auburn game was very close the first half. The Florida game was very close the first half. And then we would come out in the second half and just knock their teeth out.
God.
The only close game early in the season was Arkansas. And that was because we just did not have an answer for their quarterback. Their quarterback is probably the fastest running back in the NFL or in the
college football.
He just happens to also be able to throw, but he is phenomenally fast. And it was not until the fourth quarter when we realized if we rush this guy, we got to have two guys coming from both directions so he can't escape because otherwise he would escape and get 20 yards. You know, our quarterback is pretty good at that too, but he'll only get 10 to 15. This guy was consistently getting 20 to 30 yards, you know, and he could occasionally throw as well. So we only beat Arkansas like 42 to 41, but we did beat Arkansas.
Remember, that game always comes down to like 1-2 points.
Yeah,
always, some no matter what.
Stupid thing. Yeah. Ball hit off an upright guy, you know, getting tackled by three guys, somehow handing the ball off to another guy who
somehow the ball is intercepted by a rodeo clown that wasn't supposed to be there. You know, something.
Yeah, it is, you know, goes to four overtime. I've seen it all. Like the Arkansas game is one of the most ridiculous. Arkansas A&M game is one of the most ridiculous games in college football. We're not rivals. Like we've been playing this game since before the SEC because we were, you know, playing 12. In Jerry's world.
Yeah.
And, you know, some contract Jerry wanted us back when AT&T Stadium first opened. He wanted a pre-NFL team. And of course, Jerry played for Arkansas. So he wanted Arkansas versus, and so it was us. And so, you know, and we just kept that game going. It's always been crazy.
Back when Woolly Mammoths would regularly interrupt games.
Correct. You know, there were some question marks going down the field, and we got to the LSU game, and everybody thought that was going to be the huge test for us, right? LSU, because we're playing at Death Valley.
Right.
So that is in Baton Rouge at night, right? The Cajuns are all there. They're all drunk, every one of them. traditionally, we have not done well over the last five, 6 years. I think it's been whoever the home team was between A&M and LSU is the team that won, right? Even when we were up, I remember 2 years ago, we were up by like 2 scores and we had 5 minutes left and they ended up beating us. It was just stupid. But either way, honestly, for the first half of that game, we looked terrible. We were making all kinds of mistakes. Everything was going LSU's way. Going into the half, LSU was going nuts. The score did not look very good. And we just came out of that halftime and punched them in the face hard.
Hard.
So that by the end of the third quarter, the stadium was empty.
Except for A&M fans on the one end zone doing our war hymn, doing our victory war hymn, you know, in their stadium, on their field.
Yeah. The only thing you could hear the LSU people chanting was Fire Kelly.
Right.
Fire Kelly, Fire Kelly. So that was a big game. So everybody was like, okay, maybe we're for real, right? And then the South Carolina game comes up a little bit down the field. And this is at, you know, at our house, and we had lost to South Carolina the previous year, right? And that had started our descent into madness that was last year. And we looked awful for the first half of that game too. Just like everything we could do wrong, we did wrong. We were turning the ball over constantly. South Carolina was just utterly shutting down our offense. Our defense
was 30-3.
It was 30-3 at the half. Third quarter comes around and the offense just comes completely alive. Every time we have the ball, we score a touchdown.
Well, aside from that, our defense did not allow a point.
Yeah.
Not one point, not one field goal.
So we come back, biggest comeback in A&M history to win the game 31-30, basically scoring all but 3 of those points in the second half. Yep. So that game really showcased 2 things. Number 1, when Reed has his head screwed on, we play really well.
Oh, yeah.
And or the play calling works with where he's at. When he doesn't, we look terrible.
If it doesn't go to plan, per se, he doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
When his options are not from what he saw on the drawing board, he doesn't know how to go on the fly. And honestly, it was if the moment's too big for him, he can't handle it. And it's clear that there are moments that are too big for him. And it started with Texas.
Yeah.
He knew how important that game was and just couldn't get through it.
From everything I can see on the Texas game, he tried to force it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basically two series in a row, he tried to force the play. One of them, I will give the defense, you know, Texas's defense some credit on that one. They actually made an interception that was, you know, not the easiest one to make. The second interception that he threw, it was one of our guys, and there were like five Texas defenders, and the ball was like coasted into one of their hands. Like it was almost like he threw it to one of mm-hmm. them. So he obviously was just laser focused on probably Concepcion and completely missed the fact that he was being like five covered. And the truth of it is he could have run the ball in and probably scored a touchdown. Mm-hmm. But either way, that was our first loss. We lost to Texas at Texas. Texas made the claim that they were really good. They were.
They weren't.
I mean, they were okay.
Right.
They're an okay SEC team, which means compared to most teams, they're really good. But compared to us, no, we should not have lost that game, but a lot of it falls under Reed's shoulders. But we made the playoffs. So the playoff rankings came out. You know, Indiana beat Ohio State.
Big Ten championship.
That was not a shocker to me. Indiana had actually played a ranked team, which was Oregon,
mm-hmm.
unlike Ohio State. Maybe they both played Penn State at some point when they were ranked, but Penn State started the year as like number three, and I don't even know if they were ranked at the end of the year. Like, so bad, they were the first team out of the gate to fire their coach, because in college, a lot of times teams don't wait to the end of the year.
Well, no, like the LSU game. Well, didn't they fire Kelly right after that game?
Yes, it was right after the game.
Like the governor came in, because it was so embarrassing, the governor stepped in, said he was going to take part in who was going to be the coach.
He didn't fire just the coach. He fired the athletic director and the president of the college. So LSU's college president got fired because their football team wasn't doing very well. Think about that, folks.
Like, all we got in this state is football.
Yeah, that's well, it's not
we're true. Not making Einsteins here.
But James Franklin from Penn State started the firing, so he got fired. Brian Kelly got fired at the LSU game, or after the A&M game. Billy Napier from Florida got fired after they beat Mississippi State, you know, which is a tradition. We fire Jimbo Fisher after we beat Mississippi State. So, seems to be after you beat Mississippi State, you fire your head coach after having a bad year. Other noteworthies, you have Hugh Freeze from Auburn finally got fired, with, I think, two games left in the season. So that's the SEC fire. Oh, and Sam Pittman, they got beat so bad by Notre Dame. They got shut out by Notre Dame. So Notre Dame actually played two SEC teams, but one of them was Arkansas. Almost.
I was going to say, wait, Sam Pittman.
Yeah. So Sam Pittman got fired, and then it was replaced by Bobby Petrino after that. That was actually the first one, because when we played Arkansas, it was Petrino. Some other people got fired. Jonathan Smith from Michigan State, Justin Wilcox from California, Jay Norvell from Colorado State, and Brent Pry from Virginia Tech. So there, you know, it was a decent amount of coach firing going on. But there were a lot of SEC coaches that were gone almost midseason. And then it became a game of who's going to hire Lane Kiffin, because Lane Kiffin is a hoe.
Is he the reason why they came out with that skit about the rent-a-dog?
Yes, he is.
So I don't know. I didn't know if this was a real story or whatnot, but SEC Shorts did a bit where it was like an advertisement where you could, like, coaches would rent a dog to make themselves more appealing.
And the story was, as far as I can tell, not true.
Okay.
But it appeared that he had left their dog at their house when they moved. Like, because this was a fly-by-night thing. So let me tell you how this goes down. Florida, Auburn, LSU, you know, Arkansas. Oh, yeah, I forgot. Kentucky finally fired Stoops. which is amazing because I think his contract didn't run out to like 2032.
Jesus.
Yeah, he obviously had Jesus on his side to get that contract. Like, that's the only. So Mark Stoops somehow duped the University of Kentucky out of massive amounts of money. So he got fired, but he's going to get paid for forever.
Fair. People said that about Jimbo Fisher and A&M too.
Oh, well, yeah, no, he duped. Yeah, no. That's accurate. We got hosed on that deal. But either way, Kiffin was the sought after coach, right? All the teams wanted Kiffin because he had taken Ole Miss and he at least had a significant winning record with them. Basically, they were the third team in the SEC after Alabama and Georgia for a long time. And so he was up for grabs. He's worked for Auburn. He's worked for Alabama. He was the head coach of the Raiders for a year. He was terrible. You know, he was head coach of Tennessee. He's been at a lot of different places over the years. The winner of the Who's Getting Lane Kiffin ended up being LSU. That ended up being a whole huge deal. So Ole Miss makes the playoffs. But LSU hires Lane Kiffin or makes Kiffin the offer right after the rivalry game or even before the rivalry game. So Ole Miss, Mississippi State, it's called the Egg Bowl. No idea why. I think it's because the trophy kind of looks like an egg. Their thing is it's done. He says he's going to announce whether he's leaving or not the day after. He doesn't. The poor reporter from the SEC network who stayed up for like 17 hours or like, no, sorry, for like 20 something hours. Waiting for Kiffin to make an announcement. That poor guy. Monday morning finally announces he's going to LSU. And it's anybody coming with me, you're on the plane by 4 p.m. or you're out kind of a deal. And, you know, whirlwind moving to LSU, to Baton Rouge kind of a thing. And so there's this, people thought he left his dog. It turned out he just had another member of the family picked the dog up and bring the dog. But yeah, there was a lot of like, he's such a scumbag because he even left his dog kind of a deal. Because he has a Twitter account for the dog where he posts pictures of him and the dog. Like, it's this whole thing.
But I mean, like, again, you could believe that because like you said, the way he does things, you know, you're like, man, he let social media tell him which way the wind was blowing to see how much of a monster he could get away with. And he's like, no. Okay, I got a nephew. That's it. I'll get my nephew to pick him up. I'm saved.
Yeah. He is a flashy, superstar-ish kind of a coach. He loves the camera.
A limelight.
Yeah, he loves the limelight. So I'm sure he'll be at LSU right up until the point where the Alabama job opens up. and then he'll jump to that. In the meantime, he's probably going to do well at LSU. I mean, he's got a good talent stream, right? Everybody who's in Louisiana plays football well goes to LSU or else, right? We talked about football mafia. There's no stronger football mafia than the Louisiana football mafia. So everybody who goes, plays football in Louisiana goes to LSU. And he's a good coach. Just the same as Schlossennagel as a baseball coach for Texas is an absolute horrid person who will probably spend some time at least in purgatory. He's a good coach, so he knows his game. Same thing with Lane Kiffin. You know, LSU is probably going to be pretty good going forward. Talk about the playoffs. As we talked about Indiana, Ohio State, they played in the Big Ten Championship. It was primarily a defensive game, but more or less, Indiana showcased the fact that Ohio State's quarterback could not play under pressure. And because really Indiana was the first team Ohio State had played who had a defense. Effectively, Indiana owned that game. They won that game. But it just meant Ohio State dropped to the second place. So the way college football playoffs worked this year, it changed slightly. So instead of the top four conference champions getting a bye, it was just the top four ranked teams getting a bye. So this year, that was Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. A&M had been holding the third spot in the nation for the entire year until we lost to Texas. And then we dropped to number eight. The truth of it is we probably could have beaten Ohio State. I'm not real sure about Indiana, but definitely Ohio State. Mm-hmm. But either way, those are the four teams that got the bye, so they didn't have to play in the first round of the playoffs. The next set of teams that had to play in the first round of the playoffs, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and now they're bereft of their head coach because he's left for LSU. So their offensive coordinator came back to coordinate, as well as the guy that they're hiring to put in his spot. So he's the one running them right now. And Oregon, of those eight teams, you know, Indiana's a conference champion. Georgia's a conference champion because they just destroyed Alabama in the conference, SEC conference, and Texas Tech's a conference champion. So then you get to the low end, the next four teams who are playing away. You got Alabama, who is playing against Oklahoma, right? So they're playing in Norman. You get Miami, who's playing against Texas A&M at College Station. You got Tulane, who's playing against Ole Miss. And then you have James Madison. And that's a whole thing into itself. So the top five conference championship teams are still guaranteed a spot in the playoffs. So we had three of them. Tech, Indiana, and Georgia. Well, the other two, one of them is Tulane, right, who I think is in the American Conference or American Athletic Conference. And the other is James Madison, the powerhouse of James Madison.
Is that the MAC?
Yeah. Basically, the ACC's conference rules were so terrible that the two teams from the ACC who played in the conference championship, Duke and it wasn't Clemson, it wasn't North Carolina, it wasn't Miami, it was Duke and whoever they beat.
Oh, Sun Belt.
Or Virginia Tech? I think it was Virginia Tech.
James Madison is part of the Sun Belt Conference.
Yeah. So Duke is so unranked that when they won, they beat Virginia Tech, who was ranked. Because Duke wasn't ranked and James Madison was, they were like the 25th ranked team in the nation. It meant that the ACC did not get a conference champion into the playoffs. That being said, they did get Miami in, and that turned out to be good for them. Hilariously, the Ole Miss Tulane matchup was a rematch because they had played during the regular season. And unshockingly, that game went exactly the same way. Ole Miss destroyed Tulane. Oregon destroyed James Madison. Nobody shocked.
No.
The two shocking games were the two home games. This was a new thing, playing home games for the first round of the playoffs. A&M loses to Miami. Terrible game. Completely defensive in nature. The offenses on both sides basically did absolutely nothing. There were 30-mile-an-hour winds with, you know, 60-mile-an-hour gusts, something like that. I want to say a total of 12 points of missed field goals between the two teams. A&M managed to make one. Miami made one.
Yep.
And literally the score at the half was either 3-0 or 3-3.
At the half, 0-0.
Sorry, at the half, it's 0-0. So that's how exciting this game was.
First points came in the third.
Yeah, our defense was fun to watch. Mm-hmm. Our offense was just awful. Could not move the ball regularly, constantly throwing it poorly. Just bad.
Well, that, and I think, again, because of the wind, air quotes, we fell into the trap that Ohio State fell into, which was that we were too afraid to take big risks. We were too afraid to try to expand ourselves and expand our game. We were very cautious. And again, I think maybe the play calling was due to the fact that maybe the coaching staff knew, again, Marcel Reed could not meet the moment. Moment was too big for him. You see that we were making shorter passes and trying to run, but even our run game was more one-dimensional than anything. And so we weren't getting any ground on the, or any yardage on the ground. It was a low-scoring game, so kudos to our defense. They did the best they could. I mean, honestly, for a bowl game, it was the lowest scoring playoff game thus far.
Yeah. They managed to put together a solid drive with a couple really explosive run plays in the fourth, and they got the touchdown, and we couldn't do the same, even though it was the same deal with the Texas game. We were coming down at the very end of the game. All we had to do was put it in the end zone, and we would have tied it at least, mm-hmm. and threw an interception.
Yep.
And that one, unlike the Texas game where, you know, it would have been a 25-yard, 30 yards before we got to the end zone. He was only 15 yards from the end zone.
It was an easy pass. It was completely covered. Again, it was like three, maybe four guys.
Reed could have run the ball, mm-hmm. and gotten us the first down, and then we would have gotten another. What we did, and I think I blame Reed a little bit. I blame the play calling as well. Uh-huh. You know, Colin Klein, our offensive coordinator, had already been signed to another team, so he was going to be leaving. I don't think he did play calling to Reed's strengths. He was calling plays not to lose. We were playing not to lose,
right?
Instead of playing to win. And so was Miami, to be honest, until the very end.
Right.
And they switched it up.
Right.
It was very, very disappointing.
Because they smelled blood in the water is what it was. I mean, they're like, oh,
yeah,
they're playing to not lose.
Yeah.
Well, we could play to win and probably win.
Yeah. Extremely disappointing. You know, we figured, hey, we had a home team, a home game for the first playoff game. We'll win a playoff game. Then we'll go on because, you know, the next game, if we'd won, we would have gone to play Ohio State in the Cotton Bowl. Right. That was all. That would be almost another home game because it's right here in Dallas. And we could have beaten Ohio State.
Yes.
Because Miami then goes on to beat Ohio State. You know, they did the same thing to them that Indiana did to them.
They were playing not to lose, and the play calling was much more conservative, and Miami just beat them.
Yeah, flat out. Yeah, first two home losses for the playoffs. And then the second round, you have your four teams. So Ohio State gets beat by Miami. So that's the first team, Ohio State, that loses on the bye. Indiana plays Alabama because Alabama beats Oklahoma at home. And, you know, Indiana wins their game. So that's one bye team that's won. And then Oregon beats Tech handily.
Yes.
Like 0-30 or something like that.
0-23 is the only shutout so far in the playoff.
So Tech had a bye. They looked really good. I thought they were going to be way better than Oregon destroys them. And then Georgia. Georgia gets beat by Ole Miss. Close game. You know, it kind of just goes Ole Miss's way at the end. Same thing, kind of the opposite from their game during the regular season. You know, it went Georgia's way at the end, and Georgia won that game. But it was close in the regular season. So that kind of showcased again that if your team has a bye in the playoffs, you're probably going to lose. Mm-hmm. Because that's three teams who had the bye, lost, one team who didn't, won. And that was the same thing that happened the year prior. Ohio State was the only team to come out of the bye intact. The other three teams lost their bye games. And part of that was because two of those teams were like James Madison and Tulane, but they weren't those teams.
Ohio State didn't come out of the bye. I mean, because they had the bye, so they lost their game after that.
Last year.
Oh, last year. I'm sorry.
Last year, yeah. Because Georgia lost to Notre Dame, and Ohio State won their bye game. You know, they had the bye, and then they won their first game. But the other two teams where the conference were, like, not great conference champions, and so they lost their games. You know, it's interesting. I really think they need to expand it to 16 teams. The other controversy that happened was on the selection time frame. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of questions about Miami, Notre Dame, BYU. Right, because BYU played in a championship game against Tech. They got beat by Tech. People were like, oh, are they going to get in just like Alabama gets in after getting just trounced by Georgia? And the reality was BYU wasn't ranked that high. They were still like 13 or 14. So their rank didn't drop, but they didn't get in.
Well, we're going to get into the biggest crybaby, one of them all, just because it just irks me. And I had to have a conversation with somebody about it, is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And the fact is that Notre Dame got beat by two of the teams that did go to the playoffs. And the both of those teams ended up playing each other. But the real crux of it is Notre Dame hasn't picked a conference. And so you're choosing not to play a competitive schedule. You're choosing to play a schedule that you make up that on any given year, who knows? But in conference play, there's real fights because you're not just playing for the playoffs. You're playing for your conference.
Right.
So you have to pick a side. And I think that makes the decision for the selection committee much easier. So these teams play each other. They duke it out inside their own conference, whether those conferences are good or not. But hey, you know what? James Madison made it into the playoffs because they're in a conference. And then they ranked.
Yeah.
What else do you want?
You know, the honest truth is Miami and Texas A&M both beat Notre Dame fair and square. Yep. That makes them a 10-2 team. There were plenty of other 10-2 teams more deserving, like Vanderbilt, in my opinion. Vanderbilt was far more deserving to get into the playoffs than Notre Dame ever was, mm-hmm. just because they had an actual schedule.
Right.
You know, against a lot of hard teams instead of against two. Play two hard teams, lose to two hard teams.
And up until this playoff, I mean, SEC teams played tough. We're tough teams, but we're seeing something of a decline there right now.
I think the truth is when you get to the by the time you get to the playoffs as an SEC team, you're worn down.
Sure.
An SEC team. You talk about our running game being one dimensional. Well, it's because we were down to Owens, right? We brought Moss. Like, we have five. We basically had four or five running backs at the start of the year. Mid-year, Moss goes out injured again. He comes back for this game, but he's, you know, this is the first time he's been on the field for 6 games, 7 weeks maybe.
Right.
Doesn't play very well, right? Comes off injured again, effectively. Daniels is injured, right? Owens is doing okay out there. Smith is doing okay, but you take these injuries as you go along and it wears you down.
And we're also seeing the effects where the NIL stuff has that and the transfer portal have that kind of evening effect.
Yeah.
For all the complaints about NIL and these transfer portals and all that, we're seeing these things play out really the way, you know, when you talk about fairness, how they should be played out. Now, you know, these bigger schools with bigger money, they're not going to like that. But, you know, when you talk about how professionalism and this, that, and the other thing are invading college football, really what it is you're trying to protect, you know, your superiority. And hey, guess what? Now you got to compete with everybody else.
Yeah. Obviously, Ohio State kind of proved out that they're not actually as good as they thought they were. Mm-hmm. And Indiana, I think, has proved out that they are.
Right.
You know, I think Indiana's a good team. Now we'll see. College football is not over as of this recording. It probably is. You know, you've got Indiana who's going to play
Oregon.
Oregon. You know, they're going to destroy Oregon again, just like they did in the regular season. And you have Ole Miss and Miami. I really don't know which way that game's going to go.
Yeah. Right now, ESPN has Miami favored by 3.5.
Yeah, which means they really don't know either. Personally, I think if you're an optics guy and you think this is all, you know, conspiracy, then you're putting Miami and Indiana in the playoff or in the championship mm-hmm. game, simply because Indiana has the Cinderella story, right? Literally the worst, one of the worst records in all of football coming into last season, like win-loss ratio, and, you know, making it to the playoffs 2 years in a row, and then this year going undefeated and getting the Heisman Trophy, right? So them winning is amazing. On the other hand, the national championship is in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami, so it would be like a home game. So I think from the optics perspective, that's probably where things would go if this was scripted. But I don't know. Ole Miss has been pretty spectacular.
Well, and then for I don't know how many years in a row, guaranteed a Big Ten team is going to make it to the national championship.
Yeah.
So again, if you're into conspiracies, yes, this is how you change, you know, the story from SEC superiority to Big Ten superiority. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like Indiana, they're a good team. It's hard to see that, you know, when they're playing in such a terrible conference. But clearly they're a good enough team this year. Who knows what'll happen next year? Miami, though, I mean, just something funny about that Miami team that came out of nowhere. You know, I mean, maybe not out of nowhere, but.
Well, they have a lot of talent on that team. There are a lot of high ranking recruits. They just weren't playing as a unit. Mm-hmm. They just weren't playing well together. They were not executing. And they started really, you know, when they are executing, they're really good. And when they're not, they're not. And I think that's the truth of it. It just depends. Depends on who shows up. And with Ole Miss, I don't know. It's such a randomness in Ole Miss. Looking forward to those games. You know, unlike the NFL playoffs, I'll probably watch the rest of the college football playoffs just to watch that. And then we're back in the off season, gearing up for United Football League and baseball and hockey.
And the Olympics.
And the Olympics in February.
The Winter Olympics, my favorite Olympics.
Yep.
Time for curling.
We'll see if what's-her-name, Michaela Schaefer, can finally make it down a mountain without falling down it. And like I said before, if you go back and listen to our podcast from 4 years ago from the Winter Olympics, there was a lot of controversy that happened. So that was an actual long podcast. That was
what, in China?
China. That was the China, right? Fake snow, real genocide. Yeah.
And then the ones before were in Russia, weren't they?
Yeah.
And the controversy there, too, is because they chose to do it in the Russian summer city, like the summer vacation spot in Russia. So you're like,
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's Russia, but, you know, this is where people go in the summertime. So,
yeah.
Yeah. At least this time it's in Italy, Milan, the Alps. So snow shouldn't be an issue.
Yeah. I'm 100%. I think they built their facility in China to get Schaefer to fall. I really do. I think that was that course was designed to get her to screw up. So I don't think that'll be the case in the Alps, you know, because she's still been a national champion for, you know, every year after it and every year before. So she's still winning. I think she's 40 now. She's still winning gold medals at the World Championships.
Bad with my knee popping.
So, yeah, that'll be good. Curling will be good. I'll be interested to see how many Russian superstars are figure dancing and if they're all at least old enough to compete this time. You know, because they weren't last time. And then hockey, the big show, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Hopefully we get another U.S.-Canada showdown.
I think at this point, like those players, they live for that game. Like, they're just like, yeah, let's get it.
Like, that's the game.
Yeah, because it's that they want to showcase that style of hockey that they feel is trying to be kicked out of the NHL. Supposedly one of the kind of rumors right now about the NHL is that they're trying to be more European driven, more about skills and finesse and things like that. And American players and Canadian players, like, that's not how the game was. That's not how we like to play the game. We like, you know, we like there to be some grit in this game. And I think if you ask more,
I'm going to bash you against the wall,
right, you know, and like, you know, you wrong me, better watch your back, buddy. You know, like, there was a little bit of honor and a little bit of grit and a little, you know, masculinity to the game, hard hitting, this, that, and the other thing. I mean, and I get you don't want concussions, but I mean, come on, be a man.
It's just hockey. It's hockey about it.
And you can say what you want about injuries, whatnot. Wayne Gretzky lived in the height of that kind of hockey, and he came out on the other side the greatest hockey player of all time.
Still has a couple teeth that he had from the beginning of his life.
Well, he's a professional sports player. It's not like you couldn't buy new teeth.
Yeah, true enough.
As if that wasn't a badge of honor amongst NHL players.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
You know. So, yeah, that'll be interesting to see how hockey goes out. I like biathlon a little bit because it does turn into more of a race than you think it would. And cross-country skiing, I think last time, turned into a little bit of a foot race more than I thought it could have.
Yeah.
It'll be good. It'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. That'll probably be our next sports ball. But for our first sports ball of 2026, I think we've talked ourselves into a football coma. Season's over, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember, patthefatman.com. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, click on the patron button there on patthefatman.com. Become a fan, a big fan, get access to all of our exclusive Patreon-only content, and share us with your friends, your family, anybody you meet on the street, because podcasting is very much a word-of-mouth endeavor. So if you like our show, let us know. Send us an email, patthefatman@gmail.com. We're on Facebook, Pat and the Fat Man. We're on Instagram, @PatandTheFatMan, and on X, @TheFatMan1238. All right, sports fans. Signing off. I'm Pat.
I'm the Fat Man.
Stay classy.
Giga Maggies. Welcome to Cleveland.
We have children who listen to this show, Bruce.
Jeez.
Yes.
Boy, that's just bad parenting right there.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not going to criticize them. They're listeners.
It's your children, isn't it?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay. Oh, now I'm more curious about that, but I digest.
Man, that guy sounds like he's got a drinking problem. Oh, it's Pat. Said one of our friends while overhearing their children listening to our podcast.
Ah, they didn't say me. I hit it well.
Yeah, sure you did.